top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, March 28th, 2024, in the headline. Granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr., Yolanda Renee King, suggests holding leaders accountable and directly addressing societal issues for effective change.
The Big Station.
Dominican Republic President Luis Abinader reaffirmed his nation's decision to expel the Haitian migrants and reject refugee camps despite international pleas urging otherwise. And Thailand's parliament passed a historic marriage equality bill on Wednesday, marking a significant milestone in the nation's journey towards legalizing same-sex unions.
Only on Q.
The news has brought to you compliments. Rudolph Thomas Enterprises details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Yolanda Renee King, granddaughter of the late Martin Luther King Jr., asserts that the key of driving change is to hold leaders accountable and to address societal issues head-on. She emphasized the importance of young people taking responsibility for the society, highlighting that meaningful actions must be taken to initiate change.
If you want change, if you want to really do something, I think the best way to do that is really holding our leaders accountable and really bringing these issues up to them. Rather than talking about the dream and glorifying it and celebrating it and putting a tweet acknowledging it on MLK Day, I think that we actually need to start taking some action in order to move forward as a society. And so I think that ways that young people can do that is encouraging those around them to vote and just something to make your community a little better. If everyone just pitches in to do a little something, whether that be through a club at school or going to rallies and having adults drive them to that or using art as a way to express certain issues. I think a lot of people forget how big of a role the arts play in these issues.
And that was Yolanda Renee King, granddaughter of the late Martin Luther King Jr. Dominica's delegation was given a send-off ceremony to the 51st edition of the Carifta Games 2024 on March 27, 2024 at the Dominica Olympics Committee Conference Room. National Sports Coordinator Trevor Schillingford praised Dominica's athletes both past and present, emphasizing that their contributions at these games continue to spiral the sports sector forward in Dominica. The 2024 Carifta Games will take place in the Karina James Athletic Stadium, St. George, Grenada, from March 30th to April 1st, 2024. Four athletes have been selected to represent Dominica at the Carifta Games this year: Karel Etienne, Addison James, Jamil Curtit, and Nian Davis.
This year, Dominica is represented by four athletes: Karel Etienne, Addison James, Jamichael Tit, and Nian Davis. These athletes went through a qualification process to get to the games, and they must be complimented for their efforts. To give your best representation at the games, you have a rich tradition of medalists at the Carifta Games to follow, and we look to more medal-winning performances at the 2024 Games.
National Sports Coordinator Trevor Schillingford. The Dominica Cifical Alumni Association demonstrating their commitment to supporting charitable causes by presenting a donation of $10,000 to Operation Youthquake on Wednesday. Nicholas Bruno, the association's treasurer, highlighted that this contribution is part of the association's pledge made in 2023 to enhance the Sunset Charity event. This initiative aims to provide assistance to various charitable organizations on the island, emphasizing the association's dedication to making a positive impact on the lives of those in need.
As an association deeply rooted in community service and social responsibility, we are dedicated to harnessing and leveraging the collective expertise, resources, and passion of our alumni network to address pressing social issues and uplift our communities. Operation Youthquake's mission to provide short-term residential care, life skills training, counseling, and recreation to children and young people in crisis resonates deeply with our commitment to empowering individuals through education, mentorship, and community initiatives. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to all who contributed to the success of our charity event, making this donation possible. Together, through collaboration and compassion, we can create a brighter future for youth of our Dominica and foster a more inclusive and caring society for us. Again, we are happy that through the success of our signature fundraising event, the White Sunset, that we're able to make this contribution of $10,000 in kind to the Operation Youthquake. Let me say here that our work continues. Plans are well underway for this year's White Sunset event to be held on Wednesday, October 23rd. Mark the date. See you at White Sunset, where we will again hope to raise proceeds that we can donate to other organizations of need, such as Operation Youthquake. Okay.
Treasurer of the Dominica Cifical Alumni Association, Nicholas Bruno. Meanwhile, Lennox Abraham, the operations manager at Operation Youthquake, conveyed appreciation to the organization for their generous donation towards the facility's operations. He elaborated on Operation Youthquake's mission to provide support to youths facing crisis situations.
When I was contacted to give our wish list, I got the members of staff involved and they told me what we wanted. And this afternoon, as you can see, we have lots of stuff here. So we are very grateful and appreciative for this kind gesture. Operation Youthquake is an organization that tries to meet the needs of young persons who are in crisis. And when we talk about crisis, we mean young persons who haven't been to school or they are running away from school. They are having problems at home. They are involved in one way or the other some petty crimes. And we have them here. We try to rehabilitate them. We try to work with both them and their parents. We try to get the welfare department involved. As a matter of fact, all the residents here this afternoon, they came directly from the welfare department.
And that was Lennox Abraham, operations manager at Operation Youthquake in Dominica. General Secretary of the Dominica Olympic Committee, Ms. Fenella Wenham Shepherd, revealed that over $30,000 was invested in the four athletes selected to represent Dominica at the Carifta Games in Grenada this year: Karel Etienne, Edison James, Jamil Kertit, and Nian Davis. The 2024 Carifta Games will take place at the Kirine James Athletic Stadium, St. George, Grenada, from March 30th to April 1st, 2024. Mrs. Wenham Shepherd advises the athletes to maintain a positive outlook for themselves as they are ambassadors to Dominica.
The Dominica Olympic Committee stands by its decision to support our qualified athletes. We have invested over $30,000 in the preparation of our athletes and to allow them to participate in our, or when I say our because it's character, in our 51st edition of the Character Games. The Dominica Olympic Committee also wants to share that it pledges its support and its continued support, I should say, for our athletes and even for our officials as we work in collaboration with the DAAA and other affiliates in supporting it, in supporting their programs and initiatives that look at the well-being of our athletes. I want to say congratulations to the four of you who have qualified. You probably may not be thinking about it too much right now, but you are indeed heroes in your own right already. And at the Dominica Olympic Committee, we speak to representation at the highest level. And a lot of times you think of yourselves as sportsmen and women that, you know, we're just doing this, but it is way beyond that. You all are brand ambassadors, not just for the Dominica Amateur Athletics Association, but for Dominica.
And that was General Secretary of the Dominica Olympic Committee, Mrs. Finella Wenham Shepherd. Ministry of Tourism Permanent Secretary Lisa Valmond recently participated in a crucial 2-day regional consultation in Antigua and Barbuda alongside other regional stakeholders. Spearheaded by the OECS Tourism Policy Regional Task Force, the consultation aimed to establish new guiding principles and to develop a fresh common tourism policy for the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. Dr. Didikus Jules, OECS Director General, stressed the urgency of updating the policy to align with the mandates of the revised Treaty of Bastia. He emphasized the need for a comprehensive approach supporting competitiveness, balanced growth, and community participation, particularly in emerging sectors like the blue economy. During the consultation, attendees reviewed initial findings from the national stakeholder consultations held over recent months. This momentum will inform the crafting of a sustainable tourism policy, guiding the OECS Commission initiatives and assisting governments in tourism development over the next 5 years. Supported by the World Bank's Unleashing the Blue Economy project, the project aims to update the OECS Common Tourism Policy 2011 to integrate the blue economy and address post-COVID-19 challenges. The revised policy will prioritize sustainable tourism development, climate smart strategies, and resilience to foster a thriving and equitable tourism sector. Pharmacist Carlton Lando admonishes parents to develop the habit of solution-based communication with their children or youth if they notice their child struggling with schoolwork or a particular subject. While addressing listeners on Q95 FM radio on Wednesday on Jolly's Health Vibes program, Mr. Lando emphasized that positive reinforcement affects the learning and mental ability of people regardless of their age.
You know, well, okay, what's the matter with English? What are you not understanding? Okay, maybe we can, let me try to see if we can get a tutor to assist you, because it's not my area of expertise. But, you know, you come with solutions.
Correct.
You know, you come with solutions. So we really want to encourage parents as well to reward your children, to speak positive things into their lives, speak good, positive affirmations to them, look at them in their eye, and let them know that they can make it. You know, they can make it. Pick up the concepts, apply the concepts, and you will do well.
Pharmacist Carlton Lando. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment Lucian Blackmore emphasizes the importance of creating a platform for collective discourse when examining matters of public interest. He reflected on the recently concluded stakeholder roundtable discussion held during Forest Week 2024 and highlighted the value of learning from others' perspectives in order to address prevailing issues.
We have to understand that when we look at public interest, especially things as a common space, as the forest, it has to be as a collective. And so those kind of gathering really affords us the opportunity to really take time off to hear each other out, to listen to each other, to exchange views and opinion, and most importantly, to learn the lessons from others. And I am one of those that think that when we go through life, one of our preoccupation ought to be to get things right from the first instant. And one of the ways of assuring you get things right from the first instant is to expose yourself to the wisdom, advice, and lessons of others. I don't think it really makes sense to really go through trial and error in certain circumstances when you have partners and you have friends and you have colleagues, and more so professional expertise allow you the value of doing things the right way the first time.
Blackmore added that overlooking the importance of managing natural environments is not an option, as even a small misstep can lead to significant consequences affecting both the environment and human beings.
I'm saying this because we have to understand that dealing with elements of the nature are not things we can leave, because I like to be very graphic sometimes. How would you feel waking up one morning if you're that fortunate just to realize there is no longer air available, there's no longer water available, and there's no longer sunlight available? And I said if you're fortunate, most of us would have died in our sleeps. So I always like to keep things in common perspective when sometimes people don't see the need for collective. If you have a situation where you might be a very thirsty person, almost to the point of exhaustion, and someone, a good Samaritan, comes along the way and he has a bar of gold in one hand, pure gold, it might be in excess of 5 kilograms, and a glass of fresh water in the other. Which one would you think? The person who wouldn't go for the water first. And we're talking about normal people, normal rational people, that is. So we're making the exception there for irrational thinking. You would obviously go for the water. And that's why I sometimes remind people there's a distinction, a vast distinction, between what is important or what might seem to be more valuable in terms of economic or financial sense, and what is more vital.
Lucien Blankmore, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment. In other news, the President of the Dominican Republic, Luis Abinader, has asserted his nation's stance on expelling Haitian migrants and rejecting refugee camps despite international pleas urging otherwise. In a recent interview, Abinader reiterated his administration's commitment to crafting and enforcing migration-related legislation. He criticized the United Nations' approach to the Haitian crisis, urging greater action from the international community. Abinader proposed alternatives, suggesting that Haiti utilize its own territories, such as La Gondaf and La Chortu, for accommodating refugees. He emphasized the Dominican Republic's adherence to its laws, akin to other countries like the Bahamas, Jamaica, the United States, and Canada. The president's remarks come amidst mounting pressure from the international organizations for the Dominican Republic to provide refugee to Haitian migrants, signaling a firm stance from the Dominican leadership. And Thailand's parliament made history on Wednesday by overwhelmingly passing a marriage equality bill, signaling a significant advancement in the LGBTQ rights in one of Asia's most progressive nations. The bill, which garnered support from all major political parties, had been in the works for over a decade. However, before it can be enacted into law, it must receive approval from the Senate and be endorsed by the King.
This is the moment Thailand's parliament approved a marriage equality bill on Wednesday. It is a landmark step that moves the country closer to becoming Asia's third territory to legalize same-sex unions. The legislation was passed by 400 of the 415 lawmakers present. The bill's passage marks a significant step towards cementing Thailand's position as one of Asia's most liberal countries on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues, alongside its traditional conservative Buddhist values. The country has long been a draw for same-sex couples. It has a vibrant and visible LGBT social scene for locals and expatriates. Thailand also has targeted campaigns to attract LGBT travelers, However, rights activists have long maintained its laws and institutions do not reflect social attitudes towards LGBT people and same-sex couples. LGBT activists said the passing of the bill was a positive step, but there were some unresolved issues. During Wednesday's debate, LGBT advocates who were on the parliamentary committee had pushed unsuccessfully for the terms father and mother to be changed to the gender-neutral parent in references to the family unit. The marriage equality bill still requires approval from the Senate and endorsement from the King before it becomes law, and would take effect 120 days later.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr., Yolanda Rennie King, suggests holding leaders accountable and directly addressing societal issues for effective change.
And global, only on Q.
Dominican Republic President Luis Abinader reaffirmed his nation's decision to expel Haitian migrants and reject refugee camps despite international pleas urging otherwise. And Thailand's parliament passed a historic marriage equality bill on Wednesday, marking a significant milestone in the nation's journey towards legalizing same-sex unions.
Wherever it happens.
The news was brought to you compliments.
Global.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I am Fidis Environment.
Q. Top of the hour news. As it happens. When it happens. Wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95. The Big Station.